T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The General Assembly has been back in Richmond, hard at work, and Delegate Kirk Cox, who is a Republican from Colonial Heights, who also is the Speaker of the House of Delegates, very powerful position here, joins us now to give us an assessment of what has happened so far as the House of Delegates and the Senate try to work towards a budget for the next 2 years. Good morning, Delegate Cox. How are you?
John, it's great to be with you. I'm very well, thanks.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on. So tell me, give me the synopsis of what has happened so far. The House has now passed a budget. Is this different from the budget with the Medicaid expansion that we talked about previously?
It's got two or three changes. First of all, you talked about this. I think the reforms for Medicaid expansion that we think are very important. Mm-hmm. The key one is the work component. And we wanted to make sure that that one was even stronger. So we put what's called a lockout clause in. So it basically says if any person receives Medicaid benefit, fails to comply with the work requirement for 3 out of 12 months, they'll be locked out of receiving benefits until the next open enrollment period. So that was done. The second thing that we did was the reserve fund, which is more liquid and cash-ready than our rainy day fund, we made sure that any surplus beyond the rainy day fund and the Water Quality Improvement Act goes to the reserve fund. So that will boost that. So those were, I think, two good conservative
measures. That's money that's banked. It doesn't go for schools. You know, that was one of the things the governor's office went out and promoted so much, was this would open up more money for other projects like that. That money isn't going into the bank.
Yeah, you know, we feel very strong on that. AAA bond rating is very key. One of the things that a lot of those rating agencies have said is that you need a better cash reserve, which is more liquid. The rainy day fund is pretty restrictive of when you can draw it down, and it's been drawn down right much. So, you know, we have a goal to really boost that up, and I think that's a very smart goal. The other thing that we made sure we did was that we're not going to reforecast the revenues. And we feel that, you know, and I love the tax cuts. I've said that repeatedly. But it's sort of hard to see where we're going to be in Virginia. So I think trying to assume we're going to have more money is a real mistake. And so no new money is assumed in our budget from a revenue reforecast.
Now, you've had some resistance from Republicans in the state Senate. And I assume that there have been some conversations while you all were away for those 4 or 5 weeks after the regular session before the special session resumed. Where do you think things stand in the negotiations with GOP members of the Senate?
I think we're getting there, John. I mean, you know, I said very candidly back in January, I made a choice. I sort of looked at, you know, where are we with Medicaid expansion? You know, did not think we had the votes to block it. I think that's proven to be true. Senator Norm made a different calculation, but I think if you see, you know, the last few weeks with Senator Hanger, you know, saying, you know, pretty bluntly that he has no intention of running for a final budget that doesn't include, you know, Medicaid expansion, Senator Wagner saying the time is right. So, you know, I think eventually that's where we end up. Here's the key. I think both of us have concerns that a program unfettered, and Governor Northam, who's very good to work with, I think has been very clear, he would prefer a bill with no work requirements, et cetera, and what he calls straight Medicaid expansion. So my hope is that in negotiating with the Senate, we're going to end up with a good bill that does give, you know, access to some hardworking Virginians, but has a lot of key provisions. And I think that here's the danger. If you don't do that, you end up with straight Medicaid expansion. Remember, when the governor sends amendments back, they say we gave him a clean budget for that Medicaid expansion. When that bill comes to the Senate, can the governor can break a tie of vote? It takes one senator to go along. And I just, you know, I think you won't have, for example, a kill switch and something like that. And the kill switch basically says if you drop below the 90% federal requirement of funding, you're disenrolled. It goes away. There's no extra vote. And so that's a great concern people have brought up, and I think, you know, you've got to protect yourself in the 8 years from that. And I think the strength and work requirements, you know, are very good. So those are all choices. I mean, I think that's the key. I don't think the choice ever was there, frankly, realistically, that you were going to be able to go, you know, without some form of Medicaid expansion.
Yeah. We're talking to the Speaker of the Virginia House of Delegates, Republican Delegate Kirk Cox from Colonial Heights. And, you know, we just finished the veto session, and by my count, it looks like none of Governor Northam's 10 vetoes were overturned, which I guess isn't a surprise given the slim numbers that Republicans hold. But then this morning we're hearing that Delegate Glenn Davis may leave the House of Delegates to run for mayor of Virginia Beach. Man, that would put you all in a tough spot just doing the sheer math, right?
Well, certainly that wouldn't be ideal. But if you look at Glenn's district, President Trump beat Hillary Clinton by 5 points. That's a Republican-leaning district. And in a special election, I think it would quickly do that. And I've talked to Glenn, and I think he understands the importance of the GOP majority. I mean, for example, this session we blocked about $770 million worth of tax increases, and one of the big ones on Metro. And he has told me repeatedly he would not put the Republican majority into jeopardy, so I'm taking his word on that.
Yeah, you'll have to do some polling and see where things stand.
Yeah.
Stand there. You know, we had the governor on last week, and I kept pushing him on the sanctuary city situation, and he insists that Virginia does not have sanctuary cities. And every time we have him on and he says that, I'm bombarded with emails and calls from people who say they just can't believe the governor can say that with a straight face. And one of the bills that he vetoed was a bill that would clarify for everybody in municipal government around the state that they can't do anything that would impede the enforcement of federal immigration laws. And I know that that's been a key issue for a lot of Republicans nationally and in Virginia. What are you saying to constituents who were frustrated by the governor's position and the fact that, you know, some mayors across the state are saying that they do want to protect illegal immigrants, presumably at the cost of citizens?
John, I got several things. You looked at yesterday's veto session, you're right. I mean, most governors' vetoes, you're not going to override with 5149, but we felt strongly enough about the sanctuary cities issue that we actually made sure we had a formal vote. The Democrats obviously block voted. Here's the problem. I think Ben Klein made several good points. If you look at Fairfax County and Arlington, a lot of their policies are certainly creeping that way. I know in Fairfax, for example, let's say that you're due to get out on April the 19th, and generally you would hope they would hold that person for an additional 48 hours to give ICE a chance to show up, and Fairfax's not doing that anymore. And I think if you look at what Burlington's doing, they're creeping that way. And so, clearly you're going to have someone, go all the way. I think, as you said, there have been a lot of hints of that. So why not correct that problem now? I think it makes perfect sense. It's just a matter of time if you look at some of the western states. I think people are very supportive of the Republican position on that, and we'll continue to fight for that.
Yeah. Delegate Kirk Cox, the Speaker of the Virginia House of Delegates, Republican from Colonial Heights. Always appreciate you joining us here on the program. Thank you.
Hey, John, thanks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.